Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
Wasn't that a wonderful time of worship? Why don't we give Jesus a hand this morning? Thank you, Caitlin. We appreciate you. You did a fantastic job. Why don't you take your seats? So good to see you all this morning. Well done for pressing in and being here. Thanks, Nathan. You can put that forward for me. That's awesome. Thank you. I'm sure I'll need that water. Firstly, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Paul Marinette for giving me this opportunity. I've been working for Hope Family Church for over 10 years now. And I just want to say we really have the best leaders. They really love God. They really live a lifestyle of prayer. And the more I work with them, the more I just respect them and love them. And they're so much fun as well. I promise you, we have a lot of laughter, and their sons as well. So why don't you just give Marinette and Pastor Paul a clap in their absence. So today I'm going to talk about the power of prayer, which we're here for prayer today. So I'm very excited to share that with you. But before we get in, I want to let us have a bit of fun. So Andre at the back there is going to play a noise. If you're part of the soft team, you're not allowed to guess because you've done this already. But I'm going to play a noise, and there is a chocolate up for grabs for whoever guesses what this noise is accurately, okay? So let's see. Okay, Andre, you ready? Can I see any hands? I think. No, no, no. Anyone else? Yes, Suzanne, what is. Woo! Fax machine! Do you want to give her the chocolate? Well done, well done. So you might be thinking, why am I playing a fax machine? Well, in the good old days when Dion and I were dating, we had the fax machine, people. A lot of you young people might not know what that is, but he was actually in America and I was in England when we dated for our first year. Actually, we only dated for a year. And we had this long distance relationship, and he would let me know that I'm going to get a fax on the Friday, or say for instance, and I would be so excited. I'd be pacing up and down like a tiger in my dad's office, waiting for that love fax to come through, and I would just be, and then I would hear that noise and get so excited. And I actually asked ChatGPT to do a little image of that. That's the closest I could get to you. They kept giving me a very long nose, and I've actually got a ski soap nose, but there you go. That's what it was like back in the day when I got my love letters from Dion. And I just thought about that, and you know, actually God is just the same for all of us. He's waiting for us to come and spend time with him and pray with him. And there's that awesome verse that goes from 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen whose hearts are fully committed to him." And I just have this image of God looking out for us every day, looking who's wanting to draw close to me. And he sees Estrelita and Halea, and he goes, "There's my servants pressing in to meet with me." And he wants to strengthen us. Isn't that a beautiful imagery? And we also know that verse that says, James 4, verse 8, it says, "Come close to God and he will come close to you." So that means, that shows me that God wants to meet our expectations. He wants to be there for us. And for us who's come to know into a relationship with Jesus recently, Zola, our daughter, I don't know where you are, she's somewhere here, but she learned this in Hope Kids. She said prayer stands for these things. P is for praise, R is repent, A is for ask, and Y for yielding. And I just love it when we start off our prayer time just thanking God, being grateful. It just takes off all anxiety, any depression that's hanging there, and just takes us into his throne room. And just to to repent, make ourselves right, and he wants us to ask things. And then I'm definitely going into a season of yielding. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to do anything unless God's in it. Like, I'm quick to for goals and everything. I'm one of those people. But if God's not in it, I'm actually wasting my time. So I'm really asking him to do that. So the power of prayer, first of all, point one is know who you are in Jesus Christ. Jesus knew he was loved and accepted by God, and I think that's what gave him so much authority. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And these verses really changed my life. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "Now there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." And Lamentations 3 verse 22 to 23, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Isn't that amazing that every day we wake up with a fresh dose of grace for each and every one of us, that we can actually come to God in confidence? But we know that Satan loves to make us feel condemned and ashamed, and he wants us to feel like we're too unworthy to actually make time with him. I think that's one of his best ploys, actually, to make you feel, oh, I'm too unworthy to spend time with God. But that's his very aim, is to create distance between us and God. So I think we just need to be children who are quick to repent. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Get stuck back in and be grateful for just that he loves us every day. So number two is, there's two types of ways to pray, alone and consistently. Matthew 6 verse 6 to 8 says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father sees what's done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Isn't that awesome? And then 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16 to 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I love that. I think there's that prayer time that we have to spend time with God alone. It's that precious time that's uninterrupted, no people around, that you can just really press into him. And then pray throughout the day. I pray about everything. I pray for parking spaces. Anyone else here? I pray for creativity. I pray for people as they pop into my mind, just lifting them up. I think even for exams and studying, you can pray that God, for you young people, that he helps you remember all the stuff you learn, and then it just comes to your mind again. So, yeah. And number three, it says, God's timing is not our timing. 2 Peter 3 verse 8 says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." I think there's one thing that we really need to come to terms with as we want to become mature Christians, is that his ways are not our ways. He answers prayer not like we want him to. We'd get everything now if we wanted to, but he doesn't work like that. And Dion and I, most of you know, we tried for 10 years to have children and took 3 hectic miscarriages. And I don't know why we went through that. I know God's used us a lot to help other people in it. But I'm so glad we didn't give up trusting for our miracles. You know, God was faithful in the end. And there's a little image that's going to come on screen, which I often think about. And I think our prayer life can be like that. We can be so close to breakthrough, and Satan wants us to give up. But if we keep pressing through, our prayers are like those diamonds, and we might be so close to hitting them. So let me see. Tamsin, if I had to say to you, "I'm going to bless you with 50,000 rand, would you be like really excited? Sure, you'd be. So wouldn't you wait for me like to then follow through with that, right? Yeah, you'd be waiting me all of that. And if I didn't do that, how would that make you feel? Pretty let down and disappointed, right? And we often do that for people with prayer. we say, I'm going to pray for you, and we don't actually follow up. And so number four is be sincere in your prayer for others. If you say you're going to pray, commit to it. And I think the best way for me, the older I get, I forget things more easily. So I have a prayer journal, and I write people's names down in the prayer journal. That way I don't forget, and I just lift them up every day. And you know what's so amazing about a prayer journal is that it increases your faith, because as you see their breakthrough comes, it increases your faith to pray more for others. So I really recommend doing that to help you for that, because we all know that James 5 verse 16 says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And when we all come together and we pray, God just moves. And I think when there's power in prayer and there's unity, there's just such a blessing there. So I just love that we're all here praying for things together, and in small groups people come together and pray for things, and that's how breakthrough happens. And then number five is my last point. It says, a prayerless person is no threat at all. 1 Peter 5 verses 8 to 9 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Satan really wants us to have an ineffective prayer life, because he knows that prayer changes things in the spiritual realms. This is also a great verse. It says Ephesians 6 verse 12. You can see I love the Bible. Lots of scripture. Come on. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authority, and against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In order for us to be powerful in our prayer, we have to make it a priority. I'd like to just share a little bit of scripture where Jesus is about to go to the Mount of Olives to pray before he's betrayed and crucified. And we know that Peter's already said, Jesus, I'll never betray you. A lot of us know that story. So I'm going to pick up from Matthew 26, verse 35 to 46. Just take it. There you go. It says, but Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, not as I will, but as your will. Then he continued with his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for an hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Then he came back and again found them sleeping because his eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more, and he prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man has been delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. You see, Peter said the right thing, but it wasn't backed up with a lifestyle of prayer. All the disciples chose sleep and resting instead of praying. And they were all about to enter the biggest test of their life, and their prayer cup was empty. So when the opposition came, when everyone arrived, they all scattered. But we know that Jesus had a life of prayer. He often went to a quiet place to be with God. So when his test came, he could stand and he could follow through. His prayer cup was full. Pastor Paul often says this to us, he'll often rather be sleep deprived than prayer deprived. Because you can sleep an extra 15 minutes, half an hour. But if you haven't filled yourself up with God for the day, we all set up for opposition, all sorts of things. But if we're filled and just clothed with Christ, we're ready to face whatever comes our way. So our prayer life will determine how we cope when the tests come in our life. About a year ago, Delaney's over here. We actually celebrated his 21st birthday yesterday. Was it a year ago, Delaney? Yeah. He was coming to church to be part of the worship team early on a Sunday morning, and he didn't know a guy was following him, and he tried to take Delaney's phone not far from here. And Delaney tried to protect himself, and he stabbed Delaney early in the morning. I think your lung was actually punctured, yeah? And they rushed him off to hospital. And Dion and I love Delaney. We often give him lifts, and he's very close to us. And I think we were all so shocked that he got stabbed. And I remember God saying so clearly to me, Louise, what are you going to do about it? And I knew in that instance, he was saying, are you praying enough for protection for your church? And I knew I wasn't. And he said to me, why don't you come early in the morning when Dion comes to lead worship and just pray? So every Sunday, I'm just so committed to just lifting up the church, praying protection over every person that comes in, all the dream team leaders, our pastors over every location. And I just feel like God's blessing has been over us. And I really just challenge you, why don't you join us? Can you imagine if we're all praying before church on a Sunday, what God's going to do? Because if you think about it, people are becoming saved. You know, people's addictions are being broken. And if we're praying for that, can you imagine how powerful Sundays are going to be? On a lighter note, sorry, I get all emotional. I really wanted a new handbag. And there was a handbag in the mall that I really liked, but it was about 700 rand. And I couldn't justify that. So I was like, let's go to Shein and Temu. Have you got any Shein and Temu? Yeah. And so I found one on Temu, and I was like, yes, that's the one. And it was like 100 rand. Like, I was like, that looks perfect. There's a picture that's going to come off the screen. I was like, yeah, that's the right size. That's kind of what I'm looking for. And then, you know, that tracking, you track it from China. It's all exciting. And we got the little text saying it arrived. And there was my parcel. And I opened it up with Soraya, actually. I was so excited. And I opened it up. And it was that small. And I said to Saray, it's like a handbag for a minion. It's like literally my phone and a lipstick can fit in there. And all my colleagues laughed at me because constantly all my stuff was overflowing because nothing fit in my handbag. I mean, how doof can you get? But goedkoop is dierkoop, right? I'll be very happy to say I've got a new handbag. But God kept saying to me, Louise, you wanted a lot, but you got what you paid for. And our prayer life is exactly the same. We often look at people and go, wow, I wish I could be like them. It's their prayer life, their quiet time that makes them so powerful. And I promise you, poor Marinette are like that. We are so blessed to have them as leaders. I'm just going to put my specs on because I'm going to read something. I actually shared this in our soft team meeting. And the day that I shared this, this is what I read in this book this very morning. And I'd love to read this to you. This is a really great book about building church from Terran Williams. And this is what he wrote in the book. It said, my friend, Paul Venkola, who leads the Zambia Project, planted a church years ago with Marinetti's wife in rural Zambia that since became the epicenter of a church planting movement. Though Paul later relocated to South Africa, he made regular visits to encourage and guide the churches. When COVID restrictions came, the travel stopped, so Paul and his team decided that during the weeks he would have been there, they would instead pray for the work, before COVID. They planted 54 churches at about a 5% annual growth during and after the lockdowns. When the visits ceased and the prayer increased, the number of churches multiplied to over 300. It is a powerful reminder that prayer, not activity, is a true engine of church growth. Paul has also discipled these new churches to becoming praying churches, teaching him that prayer should be the first resort, not the last. One story stands out. While teaching a newly planted church in a remote village, Paul asked them, "If you could ask God for one thing, what would it be?" And after some discussion, they agreed they needed a well. So Paul said, "Let's ask him." So they prayed together, and when they finished, the villagers turned to them and said, "Now will you organize a well?" Paul gently corrected them, "No, no, you misunderstand. You're not asking me, you must ask God." He led them to pray again, this time with their confidence directed solely towards God. 3 weeks later, Paul returned to the same village. To his astonishment, a well stood right in the center. A drilling company delivered a well to a location 100 kilometers away, had got completely lost and stumbled across the village and decided to gift them the well. Prayer, after all, is what causes overflow. Isn't that awesome? So I'm just so blessed that we've got such amazing senior pastors that lead us into prayer so well. And I think if you're longing for miracles, if you're longing for revival, it's prayer that's really going to change things. Our prayer life must become powerful and effective. Why don't we all stand? We're going to go into a time of worship. Why don't you join us in worship and in your own time, take communion. But before then, I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you are so powerful, that everything we need is found in you, Father God. And Lord, there's not one person here that we've ever made it in our prayer life. And I pray that you help us to just prioritize you, Father God, that we will just press into you like never before. And I pray that 2026 is going to become a year of breakthroughs and miracles like we've never seen before, because you are all powerful and there is no God like our God. In Jesus' name.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.